Title: Subtle Push on Crash Entries Advanced. All right, welcome back. This is an advanced groove lesson for drum and bass in Ableton Live, and we're zooming in on one of those tiny details that separates a solid track from a track that feels like it's moving on rails. We're talking about the subtle push on crash entries, because in Rolling Deep and Jungle, a crash isn't just a loud cymbal on the one. The best crash entries feel like they lean forward, like they arrive with intent. And the cool part is, you can get that urgency without wrecking the pocket, without sounding rushed, and without making the snare feel splashed out. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a reusable crash entry group, layered, controlled, and easy to push in a DJ-friendly way for drops, 16-bar turns, and switch-ups. Let's set the session up so micro-timing actually makes sense. Set your tempo somewhere in that classic lane, 172 to 176 BPM. I'm going to assume 174 as the baseline. Now go to Options and turn on Reduced Latency when monitoring. Even if you're not recording right now, it helps you judge timing in a more honest way. And set your grid to 1/16 as your normal working grid, but get used to momentarily switching to 1/64 when you need to nudge something. We're aiming for timing moves in the range of 3 to 15 milliseconds, not obviously early. More like, why does this drop suddenly feel more urgent? Quick calibration so you don't overdo it. At 174 BPM, 1/16th note is about 86 milliseconds. So if you're pushing a crash by 6 to 12 milliseconds, that's only around 7 to 14% of a 16th note. Small, intentional. If you hear a flam, you've either pushed too far or your crash transient is too sharp for that amount of push. Now step 1. Choose the right crash. Don't start too big. Pick a crash with a clear tick at the front. You want a readable transient, and you generally don't want an insanely washy tail at this stage, because huge crashes fight your mix. A tighter crash is easier to push and still keep controlled. Drop the crash into simpler, one-shot mode. Turn warp off. For most one-shots, that keeps the transient intact. Set fade into somewhere between 0 and 1 millisecond, just enough to avoid clicks but not enough to soften the bite. Keep start at 0 for now. We'll shape with envelope and processing first, and only use start offset when it's the best tool for the job. Now step 2. Build a crash group with purpose. This is where the push becomes consistent and mixable. Group your crash track and name it something like Crash Entry. Inside, we're going to build three layers. First layer, Crash Wide. This is the main brightness and stereo excitement. Second layer, Crash Clank. This is your mid-range definition. Think short crash, ride hit, metallic tick, anything that gives you a clear timestamp. Third layer, optional noise or swell. This is not a big obvious riser. This is subtle psychoacoustic lift, a little breath of energy right before impact. Let's process each layer quickly with stock devices, just to get it in the right zone. On crash wide, start with EQ8. High pass it somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. You're not here for low-end rumble from a cymbal. If it's harsh, do a gentle dip around 3 to 5 kHz. Not a crater, a gentle dip. Then add drum bus. Transient somewhere around plus 5 to plus 15. Drive maybe 2 to 6. Usually keep boom off for crashes. Then utility for width. Something like 120 to 160% can be great, but you need to be honest. If your mix is already super wide, don't stack width on width. And we will check mono later. Non-negotiable. On crash clank, EQ8 again. High pass higher, like 600 to 900 Hz. You're making a mid-range stamp, not a wash. Then a small boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz. Like 1 to 3 dB. That band is super important, because that's where the ear often locks onto the timing. Add saturator, analog clip mode, drive 2 to 5 dB, then bring the output down so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. This layer is about consistent definition. Then utility, keep it more centered than the wide layer. Width maybe 80 to 110%. Even straight mono can work depending on your aesthetic. For the optional noise or swell, you can use operator noise or a short noise sample. Put auto filter on it. High pass sweeping upward quickly, with a small envelope amount and fast decay. Keep it low. The goal is that you feel it more than you hear it. Now we get to step 3. The actual push. Timing strategies that don't break the pocket. There are three reliable approaches. I want you to pick one as your main approach, and only combine lightly if you need to. Method 1. Micro nudge the crash early. This is the most direct. Place your crash on the drop, say bar 33 beat 1, whatever your track is. Zoom in, switch grid to 1/64, and nudge the crash earlier. Start with minus 5 milliseconds, then try minus 8, Then minus 12, a slash be it with kick and snare playing, not solo, because this is about relationship. The listening target is important. It should feel like the crash pulls you into the bar. If it sounds like it's off time, or like it's flamming the kick or snare, you went too far. Advanced note, if the crash sample has a slower attack, you can often push a little more, sometimes up to around minus 15 milliseconds. If it's super clicky, keep the push smaller. Method 2. Track delay. This is clean, consistent, and adjustable across a whole section. Show track delay by clicking the little D in the mixer area. Set the crash track delay to minus 5 milliseconds. Negative plays earlier. Then sweep between minus 3 and minus 12 while the drop loops. This method is awesome because you're not chopping up your clips. You can automate it. You can change the feel between breakdown and drop without committing to edits. Method 3. Groove pool. This is for when the push should sit inside your swing relationships. Load a groove like MPC 16 Swing 57 or your favorite DNB shuffle. Apply it lightly to Hats and Ghosts first. Get the pocket right. Then apply the same groove to the crash clip, but dial it back. Timing around 10 to 25%, random 0 to 5, velocity 0 to 10. The goal is that the crash feels like it belongs to the same drummer as the rest of the kit, not pasted on like a label marker. Only commit the groove if you're sure, because committing is a point of no return vibe-wise. Now step 4. Transient shaping. This is the part most people underestimate. Even if timing doesn't change, a sharper transient reads earlier. The brain hears the beginning and decides that happened now. So on the crash group, add drum bus. Transient plus 10 to plus 25, drive 1 to 4. Then EQ 8. If it's dull, a tiny bell around 8 to 10 kHz, 1 to 2 dB. If it's painful, dip 6 to 8 kHz by 1 to 3 dB. Optional limiter last, ceiling around minus 0.3 dB, just catching spikes. If you're getting more than 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction, you're probably hitting it too hard upstream. Here's the concept to burn in. Timing push is when it happens. Transient push is how soon your brain notices it. When you combine them subtly, you get forward energy without audible slop. Now step 5. Make room so the push is actually heard. If your crash is masked by hats, bass, or snare energy, you can push it all day and it'll still feel flat. So we control overlap. Option A. Sidechain the crash group from the snare. Put compressor on the crash group. Enable sidechain from the snare. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction when the snare hits. This keeps the crash entry present, but prevents the snare transient from getting smeared by cymbal wash. Option B. Multiband control, kind of like dynamic EQ. Put multiband dynamics on the crash group and gently reduce the mid-high band when it rings too long. Small moves. 1 to 2 dB is a lot here. And here's an extra advanced alternative that's super clean. Instead of ducking the crash from the snare, duck the snare's high band from the crash. Put multiband dynamics on your snare bus. Sidechain it from the crash group, and only reduce the high band for about 80 to 150 milliseconds when the crash hits. That preserves the snare body, while reducing splash overlap at the exact moment it matters. Now step 6, arrangement. Where does subtle push work best in rolling DNB? Number 1. Drop entry. Bar 1 of the drop. This is prime territory. Push the crash something like minus 6 to minus 12 milliseconds, and consider a very short, reversed cymbal leading into it at low level. Keep it classy. Number 2. 16 bar turnarounds. Bar 17, 33, and so on. A slightly earlier crash signals new phrase. DJs feel this, listeners feel this, and it makes your arrangement read instantly. Number 3. Fake drops or switches. Push the crash early, but choke the tail. So it hits like punctuation, not like a big wash that smears your new groove. Fast tail control. In simpler, shorten decay or release a bit. Or automate an auto filter to high pass upward right after the hit. So the entry is strong but the tail stops clouding the hats and snare verb. Now let's hit the common mistakes, because this is where people accidentally break their groove. Mistake 1. Overpushing. If the crash starts to feel like a flam against the kick or snare, back off. Most of the time, minus 5 to minus 10 milliseconds is the sweet spot. Mistake 2. Too much transient boost. If it becomes all tick, it can sound cheap and brittle, and your mix starts feeling like sandpaper. Mistake 3. Ignoring mono compatibility. Super wide crashes can disappear or get facey in mono. So occasionally put utility on the crash group, hit mono, and make sure the crash still reads. Mistake 4. masking the snare crack. If your snare loses punch at the drop, it's often crash tail stepping on it. Mistake 5. Pushing every crash the same amount everywhere. The ear adapts. Use this as a moment maker. Now some pro tips for darker or heavier DNB. Try a darker crash, but add a controlled click layer. Dark cymbal plus mid clank equals heavy and readable on big systems. Saturate the clank, not the whole crash. That's how you get cut without fizz. Shorten tails aggressively in heavy drops, especially neuro and techie rollers. Tight punctuation is the vibe. And here's a really advanced push technique. Push only the layer that defines the timestamp. Keep the wide wash on grid, but nudge the mid clank slightly early. Your ear locks to the mid transient, while the stereo wash stays stable, so it feels forward without sounding rushed. You can even do the opposing motion trick. Nudge the tick layer slightly early, and delay the main wash layer by plus 5 to plus 10 milliseconds. The front feels urgent, but the sustain feels relaxed. That's gold for liquid and rollers. One more high-level coaching note. Use the kick and snare as your reference, not the grid. In a lot of advanced DNB pockets, the snare might sit slightly behind for weight, while hats are pulled forward. Decide what the crash is agreeing with. If the crash is a drop marker, reference the kick. If it's a phrase accent, reference the snare, because it often feels more musical. And do a quiet volume check. Turn your monitors down. The push is mostly perceived in the first 30 milliseconds. If the entry still reads at low volume, you nailed the transient and timing relationship. If it disappears, you relied too much on tail and brightness. Now a quick 15-minute practice exercise you can do right now. Load an 8-bar rolling DNB drum loop, kick, snare, hats. Place a crash on bar 1 and bar 5. Duplicate the crash track 3 times so you can compare. Version A, no push, 0 milliseconds. Version B, track delay minus 6 milliseconds. Version C, track delay minus 10 milliseconds plus drum bus transient around plus 15. Render a quick bounce and listen on headphones, quiet speakers, and then do a mono check by temporarily putting utility in mono on the master. This audio version is shortened for playback.